Okay, our fifth speaker, representing the different soil science societies and the Canadian Society of Soil Science. Make sure I get the right order there. is David Loeb from Canada, and he's going to give. We're going to shift to the North American continent now, and give the perspective of Canada, and then I'll give the U.S. perspective. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Chuck. Coming off a bit of a cold, so if I cough, I apologize in advance. I'd like to thank the organizers, and Chuck specifically, for inviting me to participate in this conference and this session specifically. And before I begin, I would like to take this opportunity, as other speakers have, as the president of Canadian Soil Science Society, to congratulate the SSSA and the journal for their 75th anniversaries. It's certainly an honor for CSSS and myself to be part of this special annual meeting, which we're jointly having with SSSA, and to share in these celebrations. When I was invited to make this presentation, as I normally do, very promptly accepted, wrote up a title and abstract, fired it off. And this case is a little more difficult than other ones. When I sat down and gave it some thought, I was really concerned about what I was going to say. It's not like a standard scientific presentation. Now, first, necessary correction in the title. It's actually A Canadian Perspective rather than The Canadian Perspective. Because thinking about it, there's obviously a lot of Canadian perspectives, and I hate to presume to have the Canadian perspective. So I'm presenting my perspective, one perspective. Well, then I thought that was great. Then I gave that some thought, and that actually scared me even more. My first reaction was, do I have sufficient experience to actually provide a really meaningful perspective from Canada? And that led to this. Now, I've included these pictures. There's someone who may be here that wanted to see some of these pictures, so I included these. Well, I grew up on a farm where I worked with soil all my life, and my father actually pioneered no-till in our region and did a lot of research. I took my first course in soil science in 1984 and worked on my first soil science research project in 1986. And this is something that really startled me, if you do the math. I've actually been in soil science 25 years. It never occurred to me until the spring when I actually had to write up this abstract how long I've been in soil science. And I've only got another 20 years left, so I'm past the midway point. So, and over that 25 years, I worked in three provinces. So I did a bunch of calculations on all these things. Three provinces, carried out research in five provinces and one territory, and carried out research extension in all 10 provinces. And I've carried out research and extension in several other countries, including the United States of America and Central America, where we work with the Costa Rican Soil Science Society. So I should have something to say about soil science, I would hope. And looking back at that 25 years, I started to think about all the transformations that have occurred and over that period, and there is quite a lot that's happened in the last 25 years, even in my short career, relatively speaking, and I expect there's going to be a lot in the next 20 years. So I'm going to try and provide some more insight into that in a minute. So, looking back at my career, since I'm speaking on behalf of Canadian Soil Science Society as well as myself, I also look back at the history of soil science in Canada. And in Canada, we have our scientific society, the Canadian Society of Soil Science. We have a journal, books we produce, we have a classification system. And it certainly came, soil science in Canada certainly came of age when we did establish the Canadian Society of Soil Science. And it has certainly impacted, as a soil science, it's impacted science and technology in general, education and outreach, government policy and programs, industry and economic development, and the conservation of our natural resources, many aspects of our society and our civilization. Now, looking back, I didn't stop just there. I had the opportunity, when you start rooting around on the web, you start to find all kinds of stuff you never expected to find. So I looked back further into the history of soil science in Canada to make sure I was adequately covering a very broad perspective in addition to just my own. And I was surprised at how far back that history went. And we never spend much time thinking about it, even though many of the soil scientists are associated with research stations have a very long history. We don't spend much time thinking about it. Soil science in Canada had its origins in the Dominion and Canada experimental farms, which were established across the country in about the late 1880s to about early 1900s. And the purpose of these farms was to carry out research and development and agricultural production and to train the farming community. That was the purpose of agricultural science. And these scientists organized themselves into the Canadian Society of Technical Agrologists in 1920, which is an important date for us. And beyond that date, the group of soil scientists organized themselves into a soils group within that organization in 1931, and later that evolved into the Canadian Soil Science Society in 1955. And 2011 marks our 56th year of a soil science society being an independent society within, with holding its independent conferences from the other organizations in agriculture. 2011 also marks the 91st year of soil science publication in Canada. The soil science papers were first published in the Scientific Agriculture, or the journal Scientific Agriculture, which is shown up on the screen. The official, this is a quote, the official organ of the CSTA, and the volume one, number one, was January 1920. And this journal was renamed the Canadian Journal of Agricultural Science, and then the Canadian Journal of Soil Science was formed in 1957 and kept on with the original volume and numbering system. So it actually goes back to 1920. And looking back, during that long history, which is very much rooted in agriculture, soil science has made significant contributions to society in Canada, meeting the needs and challenges of society, which for many years was strictly food production. Certainly in the early years when we were trying to settle the West. And through scientific and technical advances, soil science has continued to contribute to food production. If you look at agriculture in Canada now versus 1920s and earlier, it certainly has transformed a lot. Production has dramatically increased with technology. And this is true not just in Canada, but elsewhere around the world. And in recent years, the last 30 or 40 years, certainly in the 25 years I've been in soil science, the needs and changes or challenges of society on soil science have changed. There's been a major shift from agricultural production to environmental protection and to service a broader range of interests, including forestry, mining, urban development, just to name a few. The needs and challenges of society on soil science continue to change. We see that very recently, in the last 5 or 10 years, we consider that very recently, in my career it is. When you look at climate change and urbanization, those pose tremendous pressure on our natural resources and require us as soil scientists to do tremendous things within our discipline. Now, there are some obstacles that soil scientists must overcome, and if we want to meet these challenges, these changes and these challenges, and I wanted to just touch on a few, which I'm going to do, and they're going to be based primarily on my experience as a soil scientist dealing with soil erosion as well as soil landscape characterization and processes more generally. Placing a value on soil. This is already brought up earlier on one of the presentations. I think it's very much a common issue that we have in all of our countries. There's a diminishing societal value placed on soil. To most people, soil is dirt and dirt is soil. And there's no question about that. If you talk to anyone in the urban areas or cities where we teach, most of us, you find people do consider soil to be dirt and dirt to be soil. The appreciation of soil as an essential resource requiring stewardship is being lost as society becomes further removed from the land and its soil. And I believe that is very much true in Canada. In economic terms, we have difficulty placing value on soil. It's another interesting aspect. If anyone's ever been involved in legal debates, court issues about the value of soil, removing topsoil, what is the price of soil, what is soil when you sell it, anyone been involved in those discussions, you have a pretty good sense for how complicated that definition or valuation of soil can be. But we certainly place a value on land. It can be assessed. It has a value based on markets. It's a commodity that can be bought and sold. But when it comes to soil, it's much more challenging. But you would hope in this day and age when we talk about ecologic goods and services of just about everything, that we should be able to do a better job at placing the value on soil to make it more meaningful to the society at large. I think one of the reasons why people don't appreciate soil is they really do not see a value to it. Now, the second issue I have is more of a global issue. It's communication. And it's already been touched on indirectly or brought up by a few other speakers, unbeknownst to them. Society has become increasingly globalized, driven by transportation, telecommunication. We all realize that, and the globalization of economies. But there's a need for common language for soil science, for classification very specifically. And I just pulled up a few of the soil classification systems. And there are many, and there is one that was just mentioned earlier in this afternoon's presentations. There is certainly a need for a common language for soil science, and there's also, therefore, a need for common standards. I think some of the standards do exist, but there is certainly confusion by people when it comes to what is a soil and how we classify it. Now, as a professor, I come up to this every fall, which was about a month ago for me, trying to explain to students why there are so many classification systems. In biology, in general, there is one taxonomy. Soil science, there's a multitude of taxonomies. Why can't there just be one? And it doesn't create much of a problem if you're in the United States, but if you're in Canada and buying textbooks from the United States, you have to say, well, disregard this chapter because this is the American system. which is a common thing. Happens every year. But it is something that has its obvious problems in teaching, but I think it also illustrates, I'm going to show, I think it's the next slide, a problem when you ask politicians, people around the world to think of soil science, if you cannot present to them a single unified soil system, and you come up with multitudes of them, it seems like you just don't know, you don't have a unified system that you're talking about. And I think that's a problem, ultimately, in terms of perception. Now, I put up this slide because there's a book, just to raise a point. This is not a criticism of this book. It's actually quite a good book. But you know things are really bad when you actually have to write textbooks to explain the differences between the systems. If you have to write textbooks to explain why there's differences, it's a bit of a problem. Now, this textbook also goes on to make the strong argument for a unified global soil system as well, soil classification system. This is the slide I was referring to. So I went to the web, pulled up some stuff on global soils, and I got four maps for the polar region, four different taxonomies. And you can imagine if you're a politician, if you ever talk to senior bureaucrats, international bureaucrats, they look at that and it does not impress them positively. And there are at least four, there's probably more. If we wish to meet societal needs and challenges, we as a global soil science community need to overcome this obstacle. And I know it's not a very nice thing to talk about, but I think it's a reality. Now, certainly the forces of change are increasing. There's not necessarily legal or economic forces, but the drivers that are forcing this, the global drivers, I think are more environmental. Climate change is a great example. If you're trying to model climate change, a global phenomena, and I suspect when we start looking at water quality as it relates to oceans, we're going to run into the same issue, you have to have models that run on a single common database. And we are starting to see this with initiatives like the Global Soil Mapping Initiative, where you have digital soils data being collected and archived and used in modeling exercises around the world. And we also see it when we look at pedology, now we refer to it as pedometrics rather than strictly pedology, as that whole discipline or subdiscipline of soil science becomes more and more sophisticated. Now, coming back to Canada, all this is happening, all this force, all this change is occurring right at the same time when Canada's ability to meet this challenge is at the lowest point in the last 25 years, soil survey specifically. Which I would like to talk about in a little more detail. That's something that I hope is strictly a Canadian issue, but it's probably not. We have a decline in pedology in Canada, most certainly. There's been a loss of federal and provincial soil survey programs across the country. I think there's only one active provincial soil survey unit in the country, and the federal unit is not active. We have a loss of pedology expertise. They're retiring fast and furiously. And there's a loss of pedologic standards, information about standards, or being able to keep up standards and modify standards to meet current demands. And there's a loss of capacity for research and training in pedology. All pretty grim from a soil survey perspective. And the consequence is we have a lot of data that's inadequate to meet these new needs or new challenges that society is asking us to address. A lot of our soils information is old, very coarse scale, and a lot of the training we do now again, that one example of the one provincial soil survey unit, they actually had to travel to Nebraska to be trained by the Americans on soil survey. So that gives you a pretty, again, pretty grim or bleak view of pedology in the country. So as pedology is fading away, and I would argue that the pedology started to fade away when they wrote their history, never a good thing. You should not write your history. As soon as you write your history, you're done. Scott, you're in the back. I've got my glasses on, but did that mark roughly the peak of soil survey in Canada?
1975?
Well, roughly 75, in the 70s.
Yeah.
So you write your history and you become history is the way I look at it. And I think it's a perception that soil survey is simply a set of simple technical skills rather than a vocation or scientific endeavor, which it certainly used to be. And I think that's been a problem that has certainly undermined the value of pedology in our country and soil survey. And again, ironically, this comes at a time when there's increasing demands for soil survey data and new forms of soil survey data. So all of these things are coming together at the same time. And I put up this next one. It's not really one of these obstacles or issues I wanted to deal with, but it is an issue that came up. And looking at that old Scientific Agriculture Journal back in 1920, I saw this diagram here. It caught my eye. And it's about the need. They're addressing the needs of science, agricultural science. And one of the needs of agricultural science was integration. You need to have, and they're trying to express the interrelationship in nature. And this is for economic entomology. But it covers all aspects of agriculture. And I would argue this approach to science, soil science as well as agricultural science in general, is very much in need. I certainly see it in my area of soil erosion research, which is why I have those two photos there, where we try to look at multiple processes that affect our soil landscape, wind, water, and tillage erosion, rather than trying to deal with them in isolation. And I would argue this is very much the case or very much the need for agricultural science. And I would take it beyond what we think of as science, but also say there's a greater need for integration of soil science with economics and politics. And I think that's an absolute must. And I deal with policymakers all the time. And if you want to advance soil science, you have to work with those people. And somehow you have to affect them because they affect what we do. The last point I want to talk about is technology, which is really an opportunity. Over the past few decades that I've been involved in soil science, there's been tremendous change in technology. It's transformed soil science as I know it, as well as all other sciences. And there's just a few slides here illustrating at the top left a scan electron microscope of algae on soil. The synchrotron in the University of Saskatchewan, where they look at soil, amongst other things. Also, our ability to look at land surfaces now with LIDAR images, another remote sensing technology, and our ability to model the terrain analysis, the computing technologies we have now. These things you could not even have imagined when I started into soil science. So, technology, I would argue, has created great pressures on soil science to adapt, but it has also provided great opportunity for soil science and our ability to advance our understanding of soil science. And this has certainly been my experience with analytical capabilities, which I've shown some of here, telecommunications, including satellite-based technologies and computing, not only the modeling, which I've illustrated here, but also statistics. And I do remember the days when we had to type out our papers on a real typewriter and had to create posters by cutting things out and sticking them on the board. So, and I think back of that, and I think, wow, 25 years ago, it was pretty basic technology, but so many things have changed in soil science, again, as in all science, in the last 25 years. That's pretty amazing. So some final thoughts. Society depends on soil a lot, but it just doesn't know it yet. I think society really doesn't have a strong appreciation for how important soil is to everything they do. You can make that argument they don't understand enough about the food system, and as a general rule, let alone soil science more specifically. Society's needs and challenges for soil science will continue to challenge us as scientists. And in the face of these challenges, I am certain that soil science will undergo dramatic transformations in the next 20 years. I've just talked about the last 25 and how it's hard to imagine what happened in 25 years. To me, it's hard to imagine what will happen in the next 20 years, but I certainly look forward to it And with that, I'd like to thank you for your time. Okay.